And we've been in this series called Matters of the Heart. We are going through Scripture and picking out the things that the word heart is not your pumping instrument. It is who you are. It is your character. It is your inner being. It is your inner person. When it talks about your heart, we've covered the heart that worships, and we've covered, you know, all these different areas of our heart, of who we really are, and what the Bible says about that surrendered heart, that worshipful heart. And today we're going to be talking about the heart that gives, the giving heart. What does Scripture say about who we really are, in which it is attached to our finances? And we don't present this message because we're hurting financially. You don't hear too many messages about finances here. I mean, we're blessed, but I want you to understand what God says about finances. So this is not a plead for money. We are doing very well financially as a church. We have great givers in this church. We are blessed to do everything that we have. Gang, we're not 4 years old. Look around. God has blessed this place. It is amazing what is taking place here in under 4 years. Incredible. We have people giving. This isn't a plea for money. This isn't a plea for you to dig deep because you don't want to and I have to give. Nope. That's not it. That's totally not it. This is that you would be blessed and you would understand the blessing of giving, and you would understand the heart that is surrendered is a heart that gives. And you want to understand where your heart is? God's made it simple for us, folks. He hasn't made it confusing, hasn't made it difficult. You look at your finances. That is one of the keys to see if we're really surrendered. And, you know, we are a blessed church. This church is able to do about, give or take, about $400 a week in gas cards to the college students and to other folks in this church who are in need. That's just gas cards. That's about $1,600 a month so that we can get people to come to church. And man, when I hear this, when I get a card from a mother and a father who says this, number one, it says, follow your heart. Isn't that pretty cool? That we've been preaching on the heart for 6 weeks, and they send a card that says, Sean, follow your heart. Pastor Sean, I feel like I know you, though we have never met. My daughter goes to your church. The outreach to the Houghton College students has been such a blessing. Knowing that our daughter has spiritual guidance. And it goes on about some other things. Folks, it is so worth it to do outreach. It is so worth it to do everything we can to impact from Creation Island, which is 0 to 2, to senior citizens. And we are reaching every age in this church. And it is just awesome. And it is so well worth every penny that is invested in the eternal things of the kingdom of God. It's huge. It's worth it. And we're going to dig this morning for 30 minutes to see just where our heart lines up, who we really are and where it lines up with our finances. Not begging you for money. Not saying, oh, we're in great need. No, saying we're blessed. And God has done great things because you reap what you sow. 10% of everything that comes into this church goes overseas. 10% of everything that comes into this church goes to Heritage of Flames, which is spread throughout the nations, which is attached to ministries over 25 years old. That relationship is now multiplying, and it's unbelievable. God is blessing this work. It's incredible what God is doing because we're faithful in our giving. We're faithful in our outreach. We're faithful because the tithes and offerings increase. Our salaries don't go up, folks. It's just like, oh, we got more, so let's make. No, not at all. The more that comes in is the more that can go out, and we're pumped. We're pumped about what is taking place here. God has been so faithful to do a work here in this place, and it's been amazing. And just so you know, I don't know who gives. I don't know the finances that come in. I don't know if someone wrote a $10,000 check, a $5,000. I have no idea. The point is this. If someone writes a huge check and they're waiting for the pastor to pat them on the back, bad idea, because it's not coming, because I don't know. Me and my human error, I can't look at you and say, I can love you more because you gave more. And I don't really, you know, I know you're not giving, man. That's an issue. I don't ever want to look at anybody ever differently. So my hands are off. I just want to love and care and instruct. It's not difficult to preach. People say, oh, it must be hard to preach on money. No, it might be hard to hear. But it's not hard to preach it. We have no problem preaching on money. We got no problem preaching on sex. We got no problem preaching on what God says about husband and wife and marriage between man and woman and what God says about that. We've got no problem in speaking on how to raise up a child. And that's not a problem. Listen, we have it easy. God says plagiarize, Sean. Just speak when I spoke. Done. Okay. I can, students, you can't do that, but I'm allowed to. So, oh, amen. Come on, let's give this time to God. These are the two verses right here while we pray. Come on, Matthew 6 and 2 Corinthians 9. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9, put a marker, and then we are going to get over to Matthew 6. Father, as we turn these pages are full of life. These pages are full of direction. These pages are full of effective living. God, you say that it is effective to those who believe it. Right here, the power of this word. It is effective to those who will believe it. God, we want to come to your word hungry. We want to come to your word starving. We want to come to your word needy, needy for direction, understanding what your word says, that it would be effective in our lives. Amazing. God, every eye in this place that would be open to see exactly what we need to see this morning. And God, every mind in this place, everything cleared out, God. The week cleared out that we'd have an understanding this morning to hear and understand what you have for us. And that our hearts, our inner person would be a sponge and we would soak this in and that we would believe this. For as you have said it, God, we thank you. God, you're amazing. And we love you so much. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew 6 says this, Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. Look at this, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures. This is talking about the green, man. It's talking about our money. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your finances go, so goes your heart. God doesn't make this difficult, folks. He doesn't make this confusing. Look at point number one is this. Follow the money. If you really, this, I told you in the beginning of the series, man, this is going to be challenging. I told you in the beginning, I knew where I was taking these messages, and it was going to challenge our walk with Him. It's going to challenge our place of surrender before Him. It's going to challenge us saying, Christ, you are my King, and I surrender, and you're everything. I am yours. I live for you. I die for you. I'm yours. That will be challenged. One of the biggest issues that can challenge us is our finances. Young people, get this, that you will walk in a way of understanding the power of your finances and what you're to do with your finances and the hold, that what God says about the hold of your finances on your heart, where your money goes, there your heart goes. You want to see a surrendered life, then your finances got to follow. That's what God is saying here. Why are we investing in so much? We look at our checkbook and we look at it and we're going to follow the money. Does all of our investments go to earthly things? Things that moths, rust, thieves can break in and take? Is there a part that goes to the eternal value? We will recognize the investment that we're making has eternal value towards the kingdom of God. See, look, here's some pictures. All right, now look at this. We spend a lot of money. I don't think that sweater probably didn't cost that much, but I don't know why anybody would wear a sweater like that, to be honest with you, but the malls like that type of sweater. Look, you can play checkers on that thing, right? I mean, that's cool. Malls got a hold of that thing. That thing is now useless. It's worthless. You've got this vehicle, this Cadillac, probably a huge buck in the day. Now it's useless and it's worthless. God is saying, pay attention to that which is earthly value. Compare it to that which has eternal value. Now listen, please. Is Jesus saying, listen, sell your home, sell your cars, live in the ditch, buy a hut, you know, eat worms? That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, look at your heart. Are you concerned about eternal things? Or do we live for temporal things? Listen, you can go through Scripture. You can go through Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Joseph of Arimathea. These loaded. These were all men who loved, respected, feared God, had God's blessing on them. God, they honored God and they were loaded. Bill Gates and Donald Trump combined are a spit in the ocean pennies compared to what each one of these guys had. Loaded. So is God saying, listen, you are to be poor, broke, and hungry, and then that's godliness. Not what he's saying. One place in Scripture, Matthew 19, one place in Scripture, Jesus tells one man, sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Then you can come to me. Once. Jesus said that once to one man who Jesus knew. This guy came to him and said, hey, listen, how do I get eternal life? Well, follow this. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. Jesus knew the one thing that was in the way was his idol. You know what his idol was? His money. So Jesus says, listen, if you're serious about following me, the one thing that you will never give up is your money. You give that up and then you have a clear path to salvation. He told that to one person. That's it. Because he knew that one person would never come to him based on the block of money. Incredible. But people take that and say, well, you're supposed to be in poverty and you're not supposed to have very much. You're supposed to give it all away. That's not what Jesus is saying here. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Look at this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But gang, when you begin to invest, when you begin to follow the money, when you begin to look at your checkbook, you can look at my checkbook and you'll see. Listen, God comes first. Listen, there is, the government comes, they take their chunk. Me personally, this is personal preference. I believe that Renee and I, when we got married, we said our tithe is coming from the top. We believe God Almighty, great creator, almighty God, deserves the first. He deserves to get before Uncle Sam gets. So God gets it right off the gross, man, right off the top. That's what God gets it from. And listen, when we got married, when we came to that place of being broke before him, not, well, cash-wise as well when you first get married, but otherwise, I'm talking about spiritually, when we came to that place of surrender, when we really got on our face and say, God, I'm in. You got everything. God, I am totally in. I'm totally broken. Thank you for loving me, saving me. And it was not ever an issue to give that 10% and then an offering and then be generous outside the home. It was just never an issue. It was never hard for us when we came to that broken place before God and said, God, we see in Scripture you deserve it. God, I want that surrender. I want my heart. I want my finances to reveal my heart. That it would be for you, and it would be for investing in eternal things and things that would last forever and ever and ever in the lives of people who will turn their hearts to him. Gang, look at this. If you invest money in different stocks, you could have a whole list of all these three digits that designate different stocks, and you could go over them and they would mean nothing to you until you put some money and you invest in that stock. Now that stock has something more than it did yesterday. Now that stock has something more to you. It means more to you now because you're vested in it. You're you have now placed money in this. I'm going to watch it. If it goes up, if it goes down, I'm going to pay attention to this. I want to know where my money. Now that you're invested in that, it now means more to you. Folks, when you invest in the kingdom of God, when you invest and eternal value, when you invest in people's lives for the glory of God, when you invest in a church that wants to reach this region, is begging God for people's souls, is begging God for marriages to come together, is begging God for teenagers to be light and salt in their schools, begging God for young people to come to Christ as a young age and live a life that glorifies him, begging God to reach this region beyond anything that we could imagine, begging God to do a work overseas that is just, I mean, it's been going on for 25 years, but it's the beginning, man. It is multiple applying and going on, that is eternal value. What do? When you invest in that, you begin to pay attention. You begin to watch. Wow, this church is growing. Wow, these people are coming to Christ. Wow, my marriage is different. Man, things are beginning to change. There is a surrender taking place. There is light now in this region that is, you begin to pay attention to the work that is being done because now you're investing in it. Where your treasure goes, there your heart goes. There your interests go. There your desires go. That's your heart. Yeah, I mean, you can't run away from that. That's what it says. So the number one thing that you follow my checkbook, it goes to him. The number two thing is my family and providing for my, like my cars, I like my home. I love being able to feed my family. I love being able to provide things for my kids and different presents for Christmas, this kind of thing. I love that. But that's second. And then if you follow my money, thirdly, I only have three things I really spend money on. The third thing would be my fish, right? I mean, you see the tank out there? I have a tank just like that at home, and it costs money. And Renee's like, you need another pump. Listen, Proverbs 12 says a righteous man takes care of the life of an animal. So I'm just saying, listen, I'm taking care of my animals. I'm being a godly man and being righteous and taking care of my animals. She's like, I don't really think that's what it means. I think it probably meant the farm animals. I said, listen, day five, fish, animals. We're good. Come on. High five. Perfect. Awesome. You look at your checkbook, folks. You look at where your money goes. What does that say about your heart? What does that really reveal about your heart? Amazing story in Mark 12 and Luke 21. You've got Jesus. I love the story. You got Jesus because he's observing. He's in the temple and he is watching. He makes note to watch. Who and what? Who's putting money in and what they're putting in? Who is it that's putting into the basket and how much are they putting in? You know what he sees? Amazing story. He sees, he reveals it to his disciples. He says, listen, I'm observing and I'm watching. You've got all these rich people. You got all these people who have the haves. You got the haves and the have-nots. You got the haves. And they are pouring finances upon finances. They are pouring their riches into the bucket and they love it. They're dressed nice. They smell nice. They look nice. They've got the hair perfect. They've got the hat. And they're just showing off, man. And they're just giving like crazy. And he says, there's this one woman, the poor widow, who came in right in the midst of them. And she drops in these two coins. Didn't smell so nice. Didn't look so good. Hair was natty. Clothes were a wreck. You can imagine. These doors open up and this poor woman comes into church. She smells funny. Everybody moves aside. She doesn't look so nice. We all put her money in. And you hear her put her change in the bucket. Why would she even bother putting change? That does nothing for the kingdom of God. Do you know how hard that is to count all the little change? Do you know how long that takes to change? You couldn't find a dollar somewhere you had to put change in? Are you kidding me? You know how long that takes? You know what Jesus said? He got his team together. He says, let me tell you something. That woman, she has given more than all the rich combined. You add up everything that they gave, all the ones with the big hats, all the ones with the long robes, all the ones who've got all the money. You add everything that they gave up and that two copper coins from that poor widow. He says, to me, she gave more than all of them. Because she gave out of her need. And she gave everything that she had. You want to talk about the heart that gives. You want to talk about where Jesus sees and he recognizes every penny that anyone ever gives and the heart that they give it. And you want to see those who give so much because they have so much compared to those who have so little and give so much. Incredible comparison. And I can't wait to get to heaven and get that huge, probably 1,000-inch big screen HD LED TV screen where I can push play and maybe, just maybe, finish the story. Because at times we don't get the full picture of Scripture. I listen, just knowing Christ, this is totally on me, but knowing Jesus, he sees this woman give everything that she had. Do you think he let her walk out of that temple and starve to death because she did not have anything left? Not my Savior. I want to know the rest of the story. Maybe, just possibly, Christ who is Creator, Christ who knows all things, maybe he said, Peter, time to go fishing. Peter, go catch some of those fish. Remember the gold coin in the fish's mouth? Yeah, that was me. Peter, go catch about, 12 dozen of them. Let's take care of this poor woman. Just maybe. Love, can't wait to hit play. HD, man. It'll be like 3D. It'll be awesome. Like almost live. Great. But what about us, man? We talk about our heart. We talk about what we give, what we don't give. We look at where we're investing our finances. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Point number two to this message is this. We have to be selfless givers. If we're going to do it God's way, it has to be selfless. If we're going to be like the character of God and walk in the likeness of Him, God loved the world, He gave. Pastor Dave hit it awesome this morning. God loved, He gave. God loved, He gave. God was a selfless giver. Jesus Christ laid His life on the line. Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus Christ gave His life willingly, selflessly. The absolute top picture of being selfless is the one who was perfect and the one who was innocent hanging on a cross. Selfless giver. We want to be generous. We want to be kind. We want to be ones who say, my finances belong to you. Selfless. Look at this. Proverbs 11 says this. Yet there is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. Yet there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous. Look at this. There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. Selfless. There is one who withholds. You think, I can gain more if I just hold on to it. And yet it results in greed or want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Again, you reap what you sow. That is a biblical principle. What you plant, the seeds that you plant will give you the harvest. If you are not planting financial seeds, please don't expect a harvest. God has given us this, man. He has set it up so very clearly in regards to planting and sowing and reaping and receiving and harvest. If we are, listen, this is why I believe God is blessing this church. We are planting finances all throughout the nation. We are blessing people who are going on mission trips with a certain amount with their need. We are fulfilling needs that are going all across the world. We are planting seeds, not just locally. Yes, locally in a very heavy way. But we are planting seeds, not just at Heritage of Flame, 10% automatic. But people who are coming in, who are part of this church, that are going out, they receive finances from us to be able to plant seed. This church gave $1,000, 10%, $1,000 to that need of Nana's house. That was huge. They needed $10,000. We gave 10%. $1,000. They were shocked that one church would take care of already 10%. Amazing. Because we're going to take care of these kids in Nana's house. We're going to do a work over there. And just we're part of that. That is seeds that are being planted that we're going to see a harvest. Because we believe in this. We believe in reaping and sowing and being generous. If you are generous, you will prosper. That's what God said. Look at this. Proverbs 22. Same thought. Proverbs 22:9. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. Come on. Just stick with me. You got to hear this. Come on. Listen, this is not a plea for more money. You know that. You should know that by now. This is a plea that you would just say, okay, where's my heart? Time to self-check. Time to be challenged. God convict me. God speak to me in this. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Listen, God's going to challenge us. 2 Corinthians 9 says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Gang, when we get this, Renee and I, when we got married, we made the decision. God, we will tithe and we will give offering. 10% automatic. Listen, when we did our budget, we began to do our budget after the tithes and offerings. If we try to do a budget before the tithes, now that way we can never hear, well, I don't have enough. Well, when you understand, God, you get the first. God, you are the one who will supply. God, this is my seed for a harvest. God, you're going to take care of our needs, but I have to plant a seed for this. God, I know that you are going to supply all of our need. It's not the how much. Well, I can only give the... Listen, it's by percentage, but we don't have time to get into this. We're going to preach a series on this, hopefully in 2013. But this is the deal. When I left the police force, full-time job, great money, great benefits, great retirement. God says, time to get out. You know what we weren't worried about? Money. Want to know why? Because we believed this principle. God, we have been obedient. For 15 years of our marriage, we have been obedient to tithes and offerings. We have been obedient to plant seeds. We have been obedient to give. And God, we know the what you have put in place for reaping and sowing. We know that there will be a harvest. We know that you are going to take care of our every need because of all the seeds that we have planted for the beginning of our marriage. God has been so amazing financially for us. It's been incredible, just incredible, over and over and over how God has blessed us financially because we've just trusted him. Because we believe the principle that he put in line. Incredible. Incredible. God led us to give away our minivan to somebody who had just had children, just had their first baby. They had no transportation. I think this thing ran for another 60,000 miles for something like that. It was crazy. It was in amazing shape. So we were 2 cars down to 1 car, which meant a lot of work for us. We just felt that they needed it more than we did. And then, I don't know, 6 months or whatever it was, however long it was, I don't even remember, a neighbor down the street comes driving by and says, "Hey, this is my father's van. He's in the hospital. Can't use it. I know that you're down to 1 car because we see only one in the driveway. We know that you got 3 kids. This is the book price. How about $6,000 or $7,000 under book price? Yeah, cash. Here you go. Done." Listen, when you plant seeds, you will receive a harvest, folks. That's what God says. Look at this. I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do as he's purposed. And is it that word purpose that means predetermined? When we got married, back to our beginning of our marriage, we predetermined. We made the decision, the determination. That's what that means. The predetermined, we are determined that this is what we're going to do. The budget starts. We will live on what we have after the tithe. That's the budget. That's where it begins. Young people, college students, I want you to have no regrets. No regrets. When you begin to recognize the power of seed planted and harvest, when you begin to recognize my heart belongs to you, God, I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know what's going to take place in the future, but God, this I know. Today, I'm yours. Today, I belong to you. I don't want to get 35, 36, married, and then have regrets that we didn't follow this principle. When you sow seed, there will be a harvest. No regrets. No regrets. Look at this. Verse 7. Each one must do as he purposed in his heart, predetermined, not grudgingly or under compulsion, not because we have to, not because it's duty, not because, well, this is the collection, this is what I have to do. You know, they're checking the W-2s, at baloney, whatever. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to have to give. God doesn't want you to give. That word compulsion means painfully. Oh, this every time I write a check, man, it's painful. I mean, this is not what God's talking about. Why? Because for God loves. God loves what? Number 3 of this message is the cheerful giver. Number 1, follow, man, check it, man. Follow your money. Number 2, selfless giving. You know what generous means? No strings attached. You know what generous means? I give not expecting anything back. When you give outside the church, when you are one of our character traits, folks, should be generous. You should be known in your workplace as a generous person. One who is always generous. One who is kind, one who is giving. That needs to be a character trait of who we are. And outside the tithes and offering, when we are generous, when we give finances out, or we don't look to get anything in return. That's what generous means. No strings attached. I look not to get anything in return. I give because I love to give. Because it is my character trait. Why? Because I follow in my Father's footsteps. And it is his character trait because he loves a cheerful giver. And God so loved the world that he gave. It is his character trait, folks. It should be ours as well. Now look at this. This is huge. Brennan, you come up. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now look at this. Verse 8 is huge. And God is able. Folks, listen. If you sow, you will reap. If you sow weekly, you will reap weekly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Now look at this. This is the deal. Look at this. This is huge. God is able to make all grace. That's his kindness. That is his favor. God is able. God who is great creator. God who spoke light. God who breathed into dirt and made mankind. God who made us in his likeness. God almighty who is all powerful. The Bible says God is able. When we look at this and say, God, you are able. God, you are able. God, you are able. What's it say? To make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. That's advancing his kingdom, folks. God is able to make all grace abound. His kindness and his favor. Look at this. This is what it says. So that. But it comes, you can't take that verse and not go back to verse 6 and verse 7. You will reap what you've planted. It's come from a cheerful heart. God, I want to invest in eternal things. God, I see what's taking place. God, it is my delight to be able to give. God, thank you for what you're doing. God, my heart belongs to you. God, I am surrendered to you. And you can check the checkbook. God, you know every cent. You know how surrendered I am. God, I'm yours. I belong to you. I am sowing seed. God, thank you for the harvest. God, I am giving cheerfully because it is a delight to see your kingdom be worked. It is a delight to see souls be won. It is a delight to see that creek filled with baptisms. It is a delight to see that bus in the parking lot going to go out and do outreach. It is a delight to see the college students coming. It is a delight to see marriages turning. It is a delight to... And we go on and on and on. And if that doesn't pump you up, if that doesn't get you excited about what God is able to do in advancing his kingdom, because people have planted seed here saying, we trust this. God, we're planting seed here. God, we're all in. God, we trust what's going on. God, we thank you for the work that's taking place here. It is cheerful in which we give. Incredible. Incredible difference from holding on to it and saying it's mine. That's not what God says. That's not what God says. So I'm asking you this morning that you look at this and you say, I don't want to have any regrets. I want to have this decision. I want to have a purpose in my heart. Where? In my heart. Matters of the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart. I want to predetermine where in my heart, in my inner person, my character. This is it. This is where it's got to go. This is God. Last verse, Proverbs 3 says this. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first fruits of all your produce. Huge. We are a church who believes in fearing God and reverencing God and taking God at his word and understanding the glory of God and the majesty of God and the excellence of God and just how great and big and awesome God is. And it is revealed in our worship of him. And then he says, you want to honor me? This is Proverbs 3:9 is right on my checkbook. Honor the Lord from your wealth. And from the first of all your produce. Why? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And I look and I have it written in the Bible. Sean, does God deserve your first? God, you deserve my first. Right next to Proverbs 3. You got to ask yourself, does God deserve your first fruit? And in doing so, you know what we do with him? We show honor. We show our value to God. We show how much we respect God. That's what the word honor means. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits. Gang, this is a test. How deserving of God in your life is your finances? Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for a challenging message, God. I got no problem in this. I thank you that you would convict us and you would challenge us. God, that's faith. God, I love to see faith increased. I love to see people following your word. I love to see change in people, God. Thank you for what is taking place here. Thank you for the finances that are here and what we can do with them. God, it's incredible. We thank you for it. I ask that you turn every heart to this, God, that there is blessing in this and there is honor in this. There is such value in this. And then, God, that we would begin to give with a different sense, to be cheerful in our giving. In Jesus' name. Amen.